I'm Pastor Teresa, and I have the awesome honor and privilege of co-pastoring this campus with my handsome Filipino husband, Pastor Glenn. He was the guy playing the bass back there. And if you can believe it or not, when I fell in love with him, he was a total rocker, and his hair was more long than mine, and he was more pretty than I was. And I told the Lord, I'm like, why you gotta fall in love with a guy get more pretty hair than me? So anyways, he cut him now, so my hair's more pretty. Thanks, babe. So welcome. Hopefully, if you're new and visiting, we'll get a chance to talk story with you at some time. I didn't tell him I was going to do this, but I do want to honor somebody today. Uncle David, could you stand up? Everybody turn back to the back row. Uncle David is here. And if you get a chance, just go thank him. If you appreciate our ministry, then you want to go thank that man. Uncle David is one of our board members, has been on New Hope Central Law Who's board for many, many years. But more than that, Uncle Dave helped raise me and Glenn in the ministry. So all those horror stories I'd be telling you about, Uncle Dave saw them all. He saw me in my worst. He saw me. He was a part of the ministry team when everybody quit. Yeah, Dave. I think Uncle Dave was the only one who stayed. Everybody else quit because I was rough around the corners, I guess, back then. I was still learning how to love people, but I love people now, Uncle Dave. So he is visiting us from Mililani, and so it's always a joy to have him, and I want to honor him. I want to thank him publicly because, he was critical in our transformation. No matter what we did, Uncle Dave always loved us unconditionally. He truly, with Pastor Mike's help, taught us what unconditional love looked like. And he brought donuts for my kids every morning. He just saw me as a struggling mom, and he always had hot cocoa, hot water for tea, and donuts. And that's what convinced my kids to go to church early in the morning. They went for Uncle Dave's donuts. And when we came out here our first year in Haleiwa, they were all grown up, and they're now adults and doing ministry. And they're like, Mom, you know what I miss? I go, what you miss? I miss Uncle Dave's donuts. I said, well, you know, you could be an Uncle Dave. Why don't you be the blesser of the donuts for somebody else? So hallelujah, they didn't do that yet. It's too early in the morning for them to be thinking about donuts when they get up to come to church. So we are so excited, if you cannot tell, I am bubbled over, because today is our last day of our series of the New Year's. Turn to your neighbor and give them a high five for making it to the end. Hallelujah. We have been in our New Year's series called 2020 Vision, His Vision, God's Vision, Our Focus. And so we're not looking just for any vision for our life this series. We are looking for the God vision for our lives this series. Amen? Because if you can grab hold of the God vision for your life and focus on that, the entire year, focus on the God vision, not just your vision, the God vision, amazing, incredible breakthrough things are going to happen in your life. And so we've been going through the story of Nehemiah and how Nehemiah was charged with building the wall, rebuilding the wall. He was broken. Remember, we opened up our series talking about what a God vision is and then how you discover your God vision is sometimes God breaks your heart for the things that are breaking his heart and you have a holy discontent, something that just downright bothers you because you know it's just not right. And then after that, we went on to talk about how God provides. If he's going to guide you, he will provide you everything that you need to accomplish his will in your life. And then of course we talked about opposition, the opposition that comes from the outside, you know, the naysayers that want to tell you you're stupid for having that God vision or it's never going to happen. You're not able, you know, those people that really kind of talk you down. And you're all excited about something, and next thing you know, you flat tire. You're like going, oh, man, I shouldn't have talked to that person. I'm flat tire. And then we talked about the worst opposition is the opposition from the inside. You know, the stuff that we say to ourselves. Can I get an amen? Because I don't know about you, brothers and sisters. The opposition from the outside didn't bother me so much. I was ready for fight. You know, some people think I'm Portuguese. I guess I could be Portuguese. Bobby adopted me into the Portuguese family. But I'm actually half black and half Filipino. And then my husband told me I'm Cebuano, and they're like really pugnacious, the Cebuanos, I guess. I don't know. So I got the Popolo side. I got the Filipino hot-headed side. So that's why I like fight. You know, like my attitude is like, you want to mess with me? Bring it on, devil. Bring it on. You know what I'm saying? And as tough as I was on the exterior to do the fighting of the enemy, oh, I was the worst to myself. You know? Go out there, battle the devil for everybody else, then go home and crawl into a dark hole because I'm depressed and I got all kind of internal issues. That'd be me. You know, Glenn never had any internal issues. I'm like, how come you ain't got no internal issues? Like, I'm the one over here all messed up. You know, that's who I was. And so I had to really overcome my darkness on the inside of me. That's what was really trying to hold me back from my God vision. I would have never planted a church. I would have never preached the word of God. I would have never led worship. I would have never done anything for God because I didn't feel worthy to do it. And I know that some of you sitting here, that's exactly what you feel. And that is exactly what the enemy is trying to cripple you with. Let me give you a tip that I finally wrap my head around. Nobody is worthy. Turn to your neighbor, say, nobody's worthy. Turn to your other neighbor, say, you're not worthy. Turn to your other neighbor, say, I'm not worthy either. The sooner we realize that none of us is worthy, then you start working in the glory that God has for you. Because if you think you're worthy to do it, that's pride. Nobody deserves to carry what we carry, the presence of God. Jesus paid the ultimate price for us to have that privilege. Hallelujah. And that is what prompts us to celebrate and to give praise. So here we are, the Israelites are dealing with all this opposition. We come to the conclusion. And so at the beginning of our message, we're going to open up with Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 15 through 16. And it says this. So on October the 2nd, the wall was finished. Turn to your neighbor and say, it was finished. Just 52 days after we had begun. Okay, let me stop right there. How long did it take for them to finish the walls of Jerusalem? 52 days. I'm not talking about some waist-high wall. We're talking about, I don't know, how many feet-high walls that encompass the entire city of Jerusalem. Are you visualizing that, brothers and sisters? Okay, that's like building a wall around all of like Wailua. That's like 20 feet high with no backhoe, no excavator, no like crane. They had just their hands and some shovels and they built a wall, maybe a rope pulley system. And they did it in 52 days. Prior to that, 15 years had lapsed and they still could never fix the wall. Here comes a man with a vision, a man with provision, and a man with the power of God behind him, and they get the wall done in 52 days. That is nothing short of supernatural. Can I get an amen? Okay, so all that to say, whatever your God vision is, it's going to be supernatural. If you ever find yourself going, oh my gosh, that's impossible. I don't know how that's possible, Lord. You got yourself a God vision. And now all you need to do is follow in obedience because the God who guides will provide. Hallelujah. We have gnarly vision for the North Shore. Like, seriously, it's so gnarly I don't talk about it. Yeah, brother, sometimes you just got to keep it to yourself. Like, don't ever speak that out. That's crazy. One time God had me talk to somebody about it. I had coffee with this guy. He don't even go to our church. You know, he's like well-connected in the community. He said, well, I want to know your vision. I said, fine, I guess God's giving me permission. I'll tell you my vision. And I've never even told anybody this vision. You're the first person outside of my family that's hearing this vision. Please don't tell anybody because they're going to think I've done lost my mind. But this is what I think is going to go down. And he's like, wow, that's very compelling. Do you know you can get grant money for that? I said, well, brother, you want to hook up a sister with some grant money, I'll take it. But I don't know how to do grant writing. And then a couple of weeks later, we found out there are people in our church that know how to do grant writing. Where God guides, he provides. Hallelujah. Okay? So if you're looking at your God vision right now, and you're like, okay, I went through this whole series. I have this gnarly vision. God, I'm scared out of my boots. You're right in the right place. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're in the right space. Okay, so on October 2nd, the wall was finished just 52 days after we had begun. And Nehemiah is saying, when our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, you know those people that talk smack about them, remember them? When our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated. You know why? They felt stupid, basically. It's like, talk to hand. Okay, yeah, you mocked us and now look. You know why they were frightened? Because they knew that was a supernatural act of God. That's why they were frightened. And they knew that they are opposing God himself. Now, I don't know about you. You do not want to take on the God of the universe. That is not a winning fight. It is futile. It is useless to take on God. And that's why these guys were frightened. Okay? And that's why they were humiliated. They realized at that moment, they had a revelation that this work had been done with the help of our God. And that is what's so exciting, that whatever it is that God is calling you to do, whatever it is that you know you're venturing out into deep waters by faith to accomplish for God's glory, it's for that end, so that everybody else who's looking on, they don't glorify you. They don't go, oh, yay, look how awesome you are, right? They didn't go, wow, Nehemiah, he's a great leader. They didn't do that. They just said, wow, this was all done by the power of God. That's the bottom line is your God vision has got to be so big that the people, they don't even notice you. They just go, oh, my gosh, that was done by the power of God. It cannot be denied that there is an almighty God at work here. And so we want to encourage you. We want to encourage you to go after that vision. We want to encourage you that if you still haven't received your vision, it's okay. It's okay. It's going to come to you when you're ready. And I will tell you, thank God every day it doesn't come to you before you're ready. Because if he tells you too prematurely what he has planned for you, you will run for the hills. You will find some rock to crawl under and hide. I'm not exaggerating, okay? So just know that everything that you're doing up to this point is preparing you for whatever that is. And enjoy your process. Enjoy your journey. Enjoy this life and faith walk with the Lord, okay? So after the wall had been finished, Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1, we jump ahead in the scripture. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1, it says, after the wall was finished, and I had set up the doors in the gates, the gatekeepers, singers, and Levites were appointed. After the wall was finished, I had set up the doors in the gates, the gatekeepers, singers, and Levites were appointed. Okay, so I want to stop here because sometimes I think we skip over these parts, but I want to show you something here that is significant. Nehemiah finishes the wall, and the first thing he did after he finished the wall was he put the doors in. That's kind of important, right? No sense to have walls if you ain't got no doors. Then he assigned gatekeepers. Those were the people that sat as watchtowers that would tell you when the enemy is coming. That was important. And notice he appointed singers. Now, if you're like me, this is my DNA. But if you're like a normal folk, you're thinking, what the heck do you need a singer for? Are you with me? Anybody else thinking that? Right? You got the gate. You got a gatekeeper. Obviously, you need Levites. Right? What do you need a singer for? It's so significant that Nehemiah said it. You know why? Because the people of Israel think that the reason they built this wall is to keep the enemy out and protect them from foreign nations. What we're going to learn here is that's not the point of the wall. That's what they think the point of the wall is. The point of the wall is so that God's people can get back to worshiping him, because they had fallen away from worshiping him. They were so involved with pagan worship. They were so engrafted in these foreign nations that held them captive. So God set himself apart, a holy nation. He encompassed them with his wall so that the singers and the Levites can take care of the temple, and then they can get back to worshiping the Lord. Okay? So what I want you to notice here is the singers and Levites were to lead the people in worship. That's the purpose of the wall. The walls were not rebuilt so the people of Jerusalem could just simply look at their nice construction of some nice walls. It wasn't built so that they can just be protected from warring nations. They were rebuilt so they could worship God with greater glory and freedom than they had ever done before. Okay? So, number one, what we want you to see today is when you reach milestone moments in your life. Say milestone moment. Whatever that milestone moment is, okay? Obviously, we're talking about a milestone moment for them is they finished the project, which was the wall. That was a very significant moment. But we have milestone moments in our life. Maybe it's you got married. Maybe it's you have the birth of your first child. Maybe it's you retired. That's a milestone moment, right? Maybe it's you paid off all your debt. Are you with me? Maybe it's you graduated from high school. Maybe it's you graduated from college. Whatever milestone moments, significant moments in your life, whatever they are, when you reach these milestone moments in your life, number one, you want to always, always plan a praise party. Always plan a praise party. Now, I'm going to say, not only do you plan these praise parties for milestone moments, you plan praise parties at every moment. Are you with me, church? Because I'm telling you, the way to live in a place of overflow, say overflow. The only way to live in a place of overflow is to perpetually be in a position of praise. Say that real fast three times. Perpetually be in a place, position of praise. Every moment of your existence should be about noticing opportunities to praise God. You see an accident on the freeway. Nobody got hurt. There's no ambulance. Praise God. Praise God nobody got hurt. Praise God for protection. And praise God you weren't in the accident. You see what I'm saying? See, we go through life and we don't take moments to praise God. We praise God on Sunday. But the Word of God teaches us, in everything you do, do it unto the glory of God. That's the Word of God. Don't tell me, don't ask me what the reference is. I can Google that later. But this is so part of my being, I just know it's, that's the Word of God. Right? In everything you do, do it unto the glory of God. That is praise unto God. I woke up this morning, and I wake up every morning this way. How many of you are morning people? Raise your hands high. I know you are, Bobby. Okay. How many of you are not morning people? Holy, that's why I'm not surprised, because nobody in our house is morning people. I used to be a morning person, and I got outnumbered, so now I'm not. I adjusted, adapted, and overcame. I'm not a morning person anymore. But every morning when I wake up, it's a struggle, because I'm not a morning person. So whether it's getting up with an alarm, but 99.9% of the time, I don't have to get up with an alarm. You know, I think kids asked me that once. Mom, how come you don't ever, you know, wake up to an alarm? I don't have to wake up to an alarm even when I have to get up early. God just gets me up. You know what's really hard? When God gets me up before I'm supposed to be up. Oh, bro, that's hard. This morning, he got me up at 3:30. I was like wide awake. I'm like, and I rolled over and I looked over at Glenn. I'm like, why am I awake at 3:30? Lord, I don't want to be awake at 3:30. This is not good. You know, and so, but he wanted me awake, whatever. So I lied down in bed, because, you know, you can praise God, you can worship God, and you can talk to God from any position. He ain't mad because I'm lying there. He just wants to know that I'm with him. So I'm lying there. And I'm like, okay, God, what am I supposed to pray about? What's going on? I'm still trying to just deal with this 3:30 in the morning. And he begins to have me pray for this service. I didn't even know what to pray, so I was just praying in my prayer language and praying for this service. And then when I was done, I said, can I go to sleep now? He's like, yeah, you can go back to sleep. So I went back to sleep. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It was around 4:30 after I went to the bathroom. You know, so that's, I'm not a morning person. But the first thing I always do when I get up, this is the first thing, I've never not woken up without saying this. In my mind, obviously I don't say it out loud, wake Glenn up. I say, thank you, Lord, for getting me up and giving me the air I need to breathe this morning. Because I didn't have to wake up. Now, can you imagine if you started your day, every day, grateful for the fact that you have another day? Not begrudging that there's a day you have to live? You know, most people get up and the first thing they think is like, oh, I got to go to work. Don't let that be your first thing you think about. Let the first thing you think about be praise unto the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you woke me up this morning. Thank you for the air that I breathe. Thank you that no matter what I got to do today, you're going to go do it with me. Thank you that I'm more than able to do whatever I'm facing this week, you know, because I know, Lord, I think it's going to be a pretty hectic week. But thank you that you're going to empower me to do what you have created and called me to do this week, right? Let that be the first thing that you say every morning. And so all that's to say is like, not just the milestone moments in your life, every moment look to plan a praise party. Every victory in our life should take us deeper into praise. Every victory. Anytime you've overcome the situation, it should take us deeper into praise. If we are not praising God more and more deeply with each passing year, then are we really having much victory? Maybe we're making it through tough times, but maybe those tough times are making us more bitter. Maybe it's making us more sour than ever before. Then I would contend that's not God's victory, because God's victory isn't going to make you bitter. It makes you better. So how you go through those trials and tribulations is going to decide whether you're bitter or you're better. What is your attitude as you go through it? Are you praising God through it? Like Glenn said, Pastor Glenn said, though I walk through the valley of darkness, I fear no evil. See, what some people do is they go through darkness, they want to pitch a tent, get a campfire, kumbaya it, and go, woe is me, man, life is hard, right? And they want to stay there forever. And God's saying, I want to walk you through that darkness. I'm not asking you to set up residence there, right? And are you praising God through that struggle? If you are, guess what comes out on the other side when you finally got through the struggle? Thank you, Jesus, we made it through. And you're not bitter. You're better, and you are declaring your praises unto the Lord. The Israelites supernaturally had a victory over building that wall. So what did they do? They praised the Lord. Okay, in Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 27, it says, for the dedication of the new wall of Jerusalem, the Levites throughout the land were asked to come to Jerusalem to assist in their ceremonies. They were to take part in the joyous occasion with their songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. We don't use cymbals, harps, and lyres, but we use a piano. We can use a ukulele. We can use a guitar. That's worship, right? And you don't have to come to church just on Sunday to do worship. Thanks to technology, you can worship in your car. You could worship while you're in the shower. You can worship God while you're doing your laundry. It's 24/7, all day, all long. And if you want to live in a place of overflow, everything can become worship unto the Lord, right? And so the people of Israel, they knew that building this wall in 52 days was a supernatural action of God. And so they decided not only just to praise God. It wasn't like, oh, praise you, God, thank you for the wall. No, they decided to have an entire ceremony. I mean, I don't have time to go into this ceremony. But if you go read the story yourself, they had instrument people go up the left side of the wall. They had instrument people go up the right side of the wall. They had choirs set up in all these different places. Then they would have the priest come, and he opened up the Word of God to read the Word of God. Do you know what the people did? As soon as he stood there to open up the Word of God and read the Word of God, as soon as they saw the Word of God, they stood up. Every single last one of them stood up to honor God. Because what they were getting ready to read was the promises of God. Brothers and sisters, don't you know that's what we do every Sunday? We do that every Sunday. Now, I'm contending you do that every day of your life. But you especially should be doing it on Sunday. Right? If you're not going to be here on Sunday, then do it on a Saturday someplace. But make sure that there is some day that you are designating wholeheartedly to honoring the Lord. And have such a reverence in your heart for the Word of God that you have a quickening and an excitement in your heart when the Word of God is open. I can't tell you, I am so fired up anytime somebody wants to preach the Word of God. I don't care how many times I've heard it. Because those are the promises of God for my life. That is God's love letter to me. And everything written in it is yes and amen. Right? In Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Everybody say thanksgiving. Say praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. The psalmist teaches us that we come into God's presence with thanksgiving. Now, I used to come into God's presence in prayer. And I had my laundry list of things I wanted God to do for me. I would just say, God, as soon as I started my prayer, it was just God, you know, and I start praying for things. I'm interceding. And I read this book by Pastor Jack Hayford. And in the book, he teaches us how to have a real devotion. In your real devotion, what really should happen is you enter into his courts with thanksgiving. So you start this dialogue with God by thanking him. Then what happens is you ask God if he wants to say anything to you. Usually what he'll do is highlight some areas that maybe are a little bit out of alignment. And then you get to repent from those things. You get to go, okay, God, search me, O Lord, and know my ways. I didn't mean to offend you. I'm not meaning to be sinful, but we're all human, last time I checked, right? And so we all fall short, we all have issues, we all make mistakes, you know. Till this day, every once in a while, I let bad words slip out of my mouth, and you're like, oh, Pastor Teresa, yes, I do, and I don't feel condemned by that. Like, God is a gracious God, and he forgives me instantaneously because he knows that every once in a while I'll slip. You know, you have those moments. If I'm really tired, then yeah, I need to stay in the bat cave. If I'm really tired, I don't need to be around humans. If I'm really tired, because when you're really tired, that's when the flesh really comes out, okay? And so after you do that, now you can go into a moment of praise. Because after you confess, he forgives. And now you can go into a moment of praise. And then I can go into a time of intercession. But what I want us to see here is it starts with thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is simply the expression of gratitude, especially to God. We celebrate Thanksgiving once a year. And actually, Thanksgiving is supposed to be a spiritual discipline. It's supposed to happen every day. Do you want to be a more joy-filled person? Do you want to be less grumpy? Do you want to be less worrying? Do you want to be less angry? Then be a person of gratitude. Be a person that constantly thanks God. Be a person that constantly thanks those around them. Just be that person that is grateful. Have your heart so full of gratitude that you want to thank the Lord. You want to thank your pastors. You want to thank your ministry leader. You want to thank your parents. You want to thank your siblings, right? Whatever it is, be a person, hey, I have something for you in my car. Al and Judy. Sorry, I've been trying to grab this couple. Al and Judy, I have a blessing for you. After church, make sure I get to come to Al and Judy. Okay, sorry, I didn't mean, that was a squirrel moment, but God just told me, don't forget, you have that in the car for Al and Judy. Oh yeah, that's right, it's in the car. So I'm saying it out loud because by the end of my message, I will have forgot it already. So, you know, when God speaks to you, you respond immediately. Okay, because it's been like a month and I haven't given it to them yet. So just be a person of thanksgiving, right? Learn to express gratitude to the people around you. You know what? Learn to express gratitude for the junk things happening to you. That's when you know you're a person of gratitude. When you can be grateful for the hardship, right? It's easy to be grateful for the good stuff. It's really hard to be grateful for not so good stuff, but that's when you know you have the heart of the Father, because in all things you can count it joy, and in all things you can give thanks, and in all things you can give praise, and in all things you can be grateful. Can I get an amen? Now, if you're not there yet, that's okay. You're going to get there, because God promises that he's going to transform us from glory to glory. Hallelujah. So what is praise? Praise is the expression of approval or an admiration for something or someone. Words that often are used as synonyms of praise are bless, exalt, extol, glorify, magnify, all of those things, praise. Okay, so when we praise God, there's two things I want you to know: that we praise God for who he is. We thank God for what he did. We praise God for who he is. We thank God for what he did. Both of those are audible. Okay, Giselle is such a wonderfully obedient, selfless daughter. This is my daughter, my youngest daughter. If I want to praise her because she actually, you know, has good moral character and integrity, I'm going to praise her right now. I'm praising her in my head. No, it doesn't work like that, right? When you praise somebody, you praise them out loud. When you praise a child, you praise it out loud. Just so, I'm so proud of you for being a person of moral integrity. I'm so proud of you for being selfless. I'm so proud of you for just being a person that I want to be around. Right? Now, I'm praising her out loud. Now, she heard it. Okay, why am I telling you that? So many people have a hard time with praise because they don't want to say nothing out of their mouth. Okay. I know this is going to sound funny, but when we come to worship God, we got to open up our mouth and declare his praise. And if you're a quiet person and you're a shy person, that's okay. God can overcome that in you. Right? Worship, praise, and thanksgiving has got nothing to do with personality. Because we choose to praise God. Right? I didn't know what the word amen meant. You know, you hear people sitting there, they get so excited about the word of God, they're like, amen! Right? The Holy Spirit in them just compels them to say, do you know what that means? Amen just means yes. Yes, Lord. I'm in agreement, Lord. That's what amen means, right? Maybe you don't know what hallelujah means. Do you ever notice that the Holy Spirit, and it's almost like there's an open heaven in this place when all we do is stand there and say hallelujah? Do you know that one word expresses the highest amount of praise that we can give to our God? That one word. I'm not going to get into the Hebrew of it all, right? We could do a class on that. That's not for today. But that's why when you're in worship and we just sing hallelujah, it's like something's happening here. It's because we're audibly declaring God's praise. They are both outward expressions. And so we are called to do that. Every time we have an opportunity, we are called to do that. And that is how we can live a life of perpetual praise unto the Lord. Okay, number two, when you reach a milestone moment or any moment, what did they do next? They purified themselves. So purify yourself. In Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 28 to 30, it says, the singers were brought together from the region around Jerusalem and from the villages of the Netophathites. They also came from Beth Gilgal and the rural areas near Geba and Azmaveth. For the singers had built their own settlements around Jerusalem. The priests and the Levites first purified themselves, then they purified the people, the gates and the wall. Okay? So where does this come from? This is Old Testament. God is a holy God. Say, God is a holy God. And so God, in his holiness, in his perfection, cannot draw near to an unholy, unpure, and defiled people. So every time we live in a sinful way, or every time God's people lived in a sinful way, he couldn't be near to his people. God can't be near sin. Okay? So what they had to do in Old Testament time is purify themselves. I'm not going to get into the history of what that is, but if you read in the book of Leviticus, it tells them clearly what they have to do to be purified. I mean, it was like killing of animals, and it was blood, and it was kind of gross what they had to do. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. We don't do that. Can you imagine going over to the Tolerox's house, and they're whacking one pig to purify the whole house? Like, can you imagine every house having to do that? Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine that. But that's what they had to do, okay? They had to sprinkle blood, and they do all this stuff. And basically, it's rededicating their lives to be followers of Christ. Well, at the time, God, Jesus wasn't back then, to follow God, to live according to his ways, to live according to the Old Testament covenant, which was the Ten Commandments, okay? So that's what they had to do before they praised God. Now you're thinking to yourself, so what? Do I need to do that? So I got to carry one bar of soap and hand sanitizer in my bag. So every time I come to church, I got to kind of wash up before I come to church. No. You see, that's the beautiful thing about today. We don't have to come to church pure. We get to come to church just as we are. Because the moment we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, he made us pure. How do we know that? The Word of God tells us that. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So it's the blood of Jesus that purifies us. Someone say hallelujah. Right? You don't even have to do nothing. You just have to confess with your mouth that you're a sinner. Now, some people have a problem with that. They don't like that word. The word sin only basically means separated from God. Sin is you're separated from God. You fall short of a standard, right? We all fall short. So much so that, you know, one person would say adultery is a sin. Well, Jesus would say the person who thought about adultery was a sin. You know what I'm saying? Right? And what we need to realize is not one sin is greater than the other. That is so hard for us as humans to wrap our mind around. You say, Pastor Teresa, you mean the guy who did murder last week is just as big of a sinner as me and I just did a white lie? Yes. God does not rank it. We rank it. You know why we rank it? Because somewhere in our sick psyche, we're trying to absolve our own sin. And what we need to accept is sin in the eyes of the Father, and we all need to be delivered from it. And the only way to be delivered from it without having to do all these ritualistic killing of animals is to accept that Jesus was a sacrificial lamb once and for all who was slain for our behalf. So now every time God sees us, he can draw near to us, even if we're still sinning. right? Because there's a process of purification and sanctification that takes place. So even if we're still overcoming our addiction, even if we're still overcoming saying bad words, even if we're still overcoming the anger in our heart, we can still draw near to God and he can draw near to us because God doesn't see our sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ over us. That's what he sees. When he looks at you, he sees you white as snow because the blood of Jesus has washed you and purified you. Hallelujah. Somebody get excited about that this morning. So we purify ourselves. But confession is a gift. So just because Jesus has purified you because of the blood of Jesus, does that mean we don't ever confess our sins? No. It says if we confess our sins, it's a daily thing we need to do. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to confess daily. Last time I checked, a 24-hour period can go by and all of us can have a negative thought. Whether we mean to or not, all of us can have a negative thought. And all you have to do is be quick to go confess it because the Bible says that God is going to be quick to forgive you of it. What we shouldn't do is just brush it aside. Oh, well, I know Jesus forgives me of that already. No, you go before the Father and say, Lord, I don't want to minimize what I just did. I'm sorry, forgive me. Forgive me if I spoke those words incorrectly, if I caused harm in any way. You know my heart's intention was not to be like that. I didn't want to do that. Forgive me. Help me to be better in that situation. Immediately you experience the love of God telling you, you're okay. I got you. It's going to be okay, right? And so we want to cleanse ourselves. If you look at 2 Corinthians 7:1, it says, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. Yes, the blood of Jesus cleanses us, but guess what? We can do spiritual cleansing ourselves, right? Maybe you're watching TV shows that are not so wholesome. Don't. Maybe you're looking at magazines that cause you to stumble because it makes you objectify women. Don't. Or men. You're right, honey, sweetheart. You're right. You know, us women, we got to admit, we can objectify some men, too. You know, when you see a fine-looking brother walk by. You know what I taught my kids? Let's keep it real. For all you millennials in the house, I had a millennial ask me this once a long time ago. Not any of the millennials here, but, you know, I've been ministering to millennials for a long time. And they said, so, Pastor Teresa, so if I, like, stare at a guy that's just hot, am I sinning? I'm like, no, sister, this is what you do. I'm going to acknowledge that there's some fine-looking brothers out there, especially, you know, here in Hawaii, they all be taking off their shirts. Hallelujah. Okay? And they absolutely been taking care of the temple. I said, sister, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go, thank you, Jesus, for that fine brother, and walk the other way. I said, can you do that? She said, Auntie Teresa, I can do that. I can just imagine these girls going down the beach going, thank you, Jesus, for that fine one. Thank you, Jesus, for that fine one. You may need to stay home if you can't, if it's going to cause you to stumble. All right? Yeah, use some wisdom. Okay? So I know we teach the girls not to make the brothers stumble and fall, but you boys need to not make some girls stumble and fall. You're right, honey. Thank you for bringing correction. We are all children of God, and we don't objectify any of them. Hallelujah, okay? All that to be said is the Word of God teaches us, let us clean ourselves from everything that can defile our body. Wrong associations, wrong things that you're letting in. Whatever you let in, that's what's going to come out. Hallelujah, right? Maybe instead of going to the bar, you need to go to Bible study. I'm just keeping it real, okay? I'm not even saying you can't drink. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm just saying some bad activities might be happening at that bar. I really don't know, and I'm not anti-bar. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying anything that would cause you to stumble, maybe you should remove those things from your life. And the Word of God says, and let us work toward complete holiness. Everybody say complete holiness? Because we fear God, okay? Now, you're thinking, I got to be completely holy? Well, that's what we're working towards. It said, let us work towards it. Will you ever arrive there? No. You're not going to arrive there until Jesus comes back. When Jesus comes back, then there ain't no temptation to sin to fall because sin will be gone, right? All there is going to be is standing in the glory of a glorious, you know, a glorious God, right? But we are still working towards it, right? Our faith is not supposed to be passive. Our faith is active. God, I'm going to strip away the things in my life that cause me to be farther away from you. And I'm going to add to my life the things that cause me to be closer to you. And so for me, Sunday morning service at the beginning of my faith walk was critical, because Monday through Saturday, I was so broken and tired with children that I didn't even know what to do with myself. I was a grumpy person. Who was it the other day? Oh, I think it was, I don't remember which one of my kids said it. I don't know how you did it, Mom. How did you deal with all those little kids? Maybe it was Giselle, because she's still in kindergarten class. I can't remember. And I said, well, that's why I was always grumpy. Who said I did it well? I just kind of got through it, and I was bitter. I didn't do it God's way and got better. I went through it bitter, right? And so for me, Sunday was my lifeline at the beginning until I grew stronger and stronger and stronger in the Lord. And then guess what? Now the Lord was with me wherever I went. And now I can have a praise fest at home. I could be at the grocery store and have a praise fest. But whatever it is that you need to put into your life, then that's what you want to do to make yourself strong, right? Why? Because we are promised that the Holy Spirit gives us the power to live according to God's ways. It's not something that we do in our own power. It is through His strength and His power. Lastly, write in your notes, put God first. Put God first. The entire purpose of rebuilding the wall was for the Israelite people to put God first. In everything. Okay? In everything. The Word of God tells us, Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 44 through 45. On that day, men were appointed to be in charge of the storerooms for the offerings, the first part of the harvest, and the tithes. They were responsible to collect from the fields outside the towns the portion required by the law for the priests and the Levites. For all the people of Judah took joy in the priests and Levites and their work. They performed the service of their God and the service of purification as commanded by David and his son Solomon. And so did the singers and the gatekeepers. So what is going on here? What God is showing us is a spiritual principle. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's a spiritual principle. That what the people of Israel did was they gave God first everything. So if they had a harvest, they would get, you're harvesting potatoes, pineapples. You're harvesting pineapples. The first fruits of your pineapple harvest would go to the storehouse. The storehouse was literally a building that they put supplies in, because back in those days, the Levites and the priests, they had to live off of the storehouse because they were set apart. They did nothing but worship in the temple. They did nothing but worship unto the Lord. They ministered to the Lord. They served the people in the rituals that they had to do. So they didn't have any land. They didn't have any jobs. They didn't have any food to eat. They had no provision. So the first fruits went into the storehouse of everything, grain, wheat, fruit, whatever it was that they had. If they had money, they gave money, okay? But the bottom line is this. How does that work for you and I today? What we teach at New Hope Central Oahu is give God first of your time, your treasure, and your talent, right? If I'm going to, and not only do you give to God first, you give Him the best portion, okay? It says they gave the best portion. What do you mean by that? You want to give God the best portion of your time. So people ask me, Pastor Teresa, when do I devo? Whenever is your best time. Give Him your best, right? Hopefully that's in the morning. I used to try and get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and do my morning devotions. Well, I would fall asleep every time I did them. So I wasn't giving God my best. So then guess what? I know that I'm at my best between the hours of 7 and 10. I make sure that at 7, around 7:30, I'm trying to make sure I have time for God. Okay, because that's when I'm at my best. So you want to give God your best and first of your time, your talent. You want to serve whatever your gifting is, give it back to God. You think you don't have a talent? I promise you, you do. You think there's no place for you to serve in the house of the Lord? I promise you, you do. There is. I'm telling you, there is so many things that could take place out here to serve the North Shore if everybody gave the first of their talents. And your treasure, what is your treasure? Your treasure is your pay. Now, I'm not going to beat this to death, and I'm going to talk about it. And I'm only going to talk about it because I love you. Turn to your neighbor and say, she loves you. Now, for me to not talk about it is for me not to love you. I tell you, there's so many churches in America that don't talk about this. They're afraid to talk about it. I'm not afraid to talk about it because I personally witnessed the power of God at work in mine and Glenn's life because we were obedient with our tithe. We were a couple, like I mentioned, standing before a judge because we couldn't pay credit cards. Our credit scores were so low we couldn't buy a house. We just recently were going through financing to possibly buy a $1 million house. And our credit scores are ridiculously high. And I'm not bragging about that. I'm proud of that. And I give God glory for it because he has taught us discipline with our finances. Are we perfect yet? No. But we're working on it. But I know that we are the top of the top in credit scores because when we told my son who works at a bank, he's like, what? What is your credit score? I'm like, I know. That's right. And it's all because of the Lord. And so what do we talk about in regards to tithing? A tithe is one-tenth. Say one-tenth. 10%. So back in the Old Testament, they say tithe. That equals 10%. So you take 10% of your fruits financially, meaning you get a paycheck, take 10%, and you tithe that to the house of the Lord. And you say, well, what are they going to do with it? It doesn't matter. You hope that you trust the leadership that they'll do right by it. But most importantly, that 10% funds all of the ministry that's going to happen on the North Shore, that happens in Waiawa, that happens in Central Oahu, down by Mililani, right? We have a board that makes sure that that money is going back into the ministry. And it's a 10% tithe. In Malachi chapter 3, it says, try me now in this, that you bring a tithe to the storehouse, and I will open up the gates of heaven and flood down rains of blessing upon you. And the one area that Glenn and I struggled with for years was our money. Because we were broke, we had college degrees, we couldn't find good jobs, and we had four mouths to feed. We had no place to live. We moved from California to Hawaii, and I was shocked at how expensive it was to live in Hawaii. And so for years, that was a struggle for us. But guess what? The Word of God tells us, where your treasure is, there your heart will be too. And I once heard a man say, I would rather live on 90% of my money blessed than 100% of my money cursed. Do you know what my heart's desire is now? Because we've been living this principle of tithing. We've been watching God get us out of debt. We went from buying a townhouse to buying a single-family home, and I know we're going to buy land. I just know it. I just know what's going to happen in God's timing. All for the glory of God. I want to have parties at my house. I want to host functions for church at my house. You know, like I'm tired of looking for a space. I'm going to build a space on my property. It's going to be a great hall. And the next time Pam Chun says, we need a place to do high tea. No problem. You use my space. Because we know that the property belongs to the Lord. Right? Right? Where was I going with that? Tithing. For the longest time, that was a stronghold in our life. We lived in fear. We had a scarcity mindset. We lived with this lack. And we finally got taught that God wanted us to live in abundance. And now my greatest desire is not that I tithe 10%. My prayer for the last 5 years has been, God, I want to live on 10% and I want to tithe 90. And you know why that became my prayer? Because I saw a man who did it. I witnessed it. He lives on 10% of his income and he tithes 90%. Rick Warren, Saddleback Church, the writer and author of The Purpose-Driven Life. It was his greatest desire to live on 10% of his income. He doesn't take a payroll from his church. He told his board, I refuse to take any of your money. I write enough books. I'll live off of the royalties of these books because God is blessing them. As I'm blessing God's people, he is blessing me in return, and he lives on 10% of his income. He gives 90% away. Brothers and sisters, that sounds crazy, but it is a God thing. Hallelujah. And everything I do is to that end. One day, we're going to live on 10% of our income and give 90% away. Just imagine if every believer in the world gave 90% of their income to the Lord, what he could do to reach the lost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. And I know that that's a hard thing to hear. And if you're here and that's a new concept for you, there is no condemnation in Christ. We as pastors, we don't even know who tithes and who doesn't tithe. I don't know what the giving is. I don't want to know. They have a whole group of people set aside to do that. Because we are going to love and serve God's people because you're his children. And because he loves you, we love you, and we're going to serve that. We don't serve because you're a tithing person. So don't worry about whether people know. Nobody knows. Whatever your giving is between you and the Lord. I will tell you, just start with wherever you're at. You know, I had one sister tell me, Pastor Teresa, if I give 10% of my income, I won't be able to pay my mortgage. I said, well, you know what, sis? I'm not telling you to do that, and I don't think God's telling you to do that. What you need to do is go to the Father, ask him what he wants you to give you, and then believe that he is going to help you get to 10% because that's your heart's desire. And after a while, she was overflowing in finances, and now she's giving more than 10%. So just start with where God is directing you. Are you with me, church? And we don't want money and the things of this earth to stop us from living lives fully surrendered in praise to the Lord, fully separated so that our life is the Lord's, right? You have so many people coming to church and not experiencing victory after victory after victory. And my question to you is, are you living according to God's principles that are laid out for us in the Bible? And if you want to grow in understanding that, then I want to encourage you, take a Transformation Academy class. Because that's where we go deeper into the Word of God. That's where we will pray for you. That's where we will believe with you God's inner healing, deliverance, and provision for your life, and help you find your purpose and your passion and your calling. It's going to be in the Transformation Academy. All that to be said is we're so excited because we see the hand of God here in Haleiwa, and it is crazy what God's doing right now. It's crazy. I see the transformation taking place in the hearts of the people, and we know that it's a God thing. We know that it's supernatural. We know that God is on the move because we are a worshiping church. That is our highest value. And so I'm preparing for this message, and I'm like, Lord, I'm preaching to the choir, man. Our church knows how to worship. Thank you, Jesus. I can't tell you every single time our family just rejoices that we have a church that knows how to praise. Now, I want to encourage you, take what we experience every Sunday morning and make it happen 24/7 and watch the gates of heaven open up over the North Shore and flood this place with his manifest presence, his provision, and his glory. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? With every eye closed and every head bowed, we never want to end our service without giving people an opportunity to give their hearts to the Lord. Even if you're watching online, if you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior so that he can purify you and forgive you of all your sins, would you raise your hand? We want to pray for you. I see you, brother. Maybe you're here today and you've given your heart to Jesus, but you need to rededicate your life. Man, it's only been a week, but you kind of fell backwards. But that's okay. If you need to rededicate your life and you want to do that this morning, would you raise your hand? We want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see you. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're here this morning and you are a person of praise. You want to be that person of praise, but life has gotten you so beat down that you haven't really been able to just offer continual praise unto the Lord with every eye closed and every head bowed. If that's you here, would you raise your hand? I see you, sis. I see you, brother. I see you, brother. I see you, sister. And maybe you're here today and you just want to get your finances right. You understand this concept of tithe. You want to give of your best, the first fruits of your time, your talent, and your treasure. And you're struggling with that, but you want to live according to the Word of God. With every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you here today, I want to pray. I see you. I see you. Hands are going. You put your hands down. Would you all pray this prayer with me? Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for purifying me of all my sins. And thank you that you are a God who provides. Lord, I know every word that comes from your mouth is yes and amen for my life. And so, Father, I now commit myself wholeheartedly to you. And I choose to declare that I will give the first fruits of my time, my treasure, and my talents. And Lord, in regards to my finances, you know my heart's desire. Show me where to start so that I can become a cheerful and prompt giver for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, let's give God praise.